CNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, it's time for what is sure to be a controversial edition of the C Block starring Corey Majors.
Thank you for saying that. The controversy will come at the end of this segment.
Also, if you want to send in tips for making Alec more ripped.
He sent me a workout that's pretty good, and
yeah,
I've enjoyed that workout so far.
I'm glad you have. It's working for everything but my core right now.
There's no ab work in it.
Yeah, because I just kind of freestyle it, and it's clearly not working. Yeah.
So you're saying you need a different plan there. Gotcha. Somebody texted an ab plan for Alec. I think he looks great, too. I didn't say it. Sorry, Alec. I should have said that.
You should slide into his DMs.
It's him that thinks that he doesn't look great. That's not us.
We need to help with his self-esteem.
All right. We'll slide into your DMs later then, is what he's saying. Speaking of, that didn't have any.
I really wanted to hear that transition.
Where is this going?
I was going to be like, Corey, who's the last DMs you slid into?
Guys, Kamar Rocker. This is a conversation that I think has been taking place a lot, obviously, with like John Gray, Cody Bradford. The way that the pitching staff is doing starting-wise right now, why mess with any of it?
Sure.
Like this is the, okay, but you have all these other arms. What are you going to do with all these other arms? And we've talked about making John Gray a closer for about 3 years now because he has the best stuff to be a closer.
Sure.
He is a starting pitcher when he's healthy, which is always kind of rough. And he, look, man, this is, people have asked this question a lot of times. When you know these players personally, is it difficult to talk about them? No. But it also is, it hurts a little more to see what their struggles.
I agree.
But I think that we've always been, I mean, Derek knows. Derek, when we would talk about him whenever he was doing bad. And he was like, look, man, I didn't do good today. The reality is I wasn't good today. So if y'all are being honest and you're being truthful, I got to deal with it and suck it up. John Gray, health-wise, would love him to be better, but he's not. So a lot of people, a lot of whispers started happening around this weekend. And I got it, Kevin, I don't know if you got it too. I got so many questions of Rocker, like last Tuesday.
Yeah.
Is he going to be a closer? It's in my DMs. And I was like, I don't know where this is coming from.
Is it weird that this whole conversation was make-believe? And people just imagined it happened?
It is. It is weird that because Chris Young said, we see him as an MLB starter in the short and long term.
Yeah.
Is there a way we need him in capacity in the bullpen? Perhaps. But that is neither the focus nor the plan. We've not talked about it. And honestly, listen to what he says. We have not talked about it. They haven't talked to Corey Seager about playing first base. Everything that involves probably comes from Mike initially bringing it up as an idea.
Yeah.
And everybody else going, that's actually a great idea, Mike.
Yeah.
And the rest of the world just kind of latched onto it. At some point, it's going to happen. They want to talk to these guys, talk to their agents, and make sure that the conversation is approachable and feasible. Kamar Rocker and his agent feel like he is a starting pitcher. They want him to have the opportunities to start. Guess what? His agent probably has a couple other clients that the Rangers are working with, too. So having good relationships with the agent is very important. You see that all the time. Jason Kidd and Nico being tight with Clutch Sports.
Yep.
Think that's important for a reason. But the other part on Rocker is when this season started, a lot of people were, where is he going to be? We heard he was going to be in the starting rotation no matter what.
Yeah.
They believe it. They were going to give him opportunities to go up and fail and come back and do all these things. And for the most part, he did pretty good sometimes and pretty bad other times.
Yeah.
So they got to see the reality of what's going on there. But then saying, okay, we're going to roll with closer. That's not what I think he wants to do. And the Rangers, honestly, Kevin, is their situation, their bullpen, the problem? Or is it, I know we brought it up.
It has become a problem.
We brought it up and we've had the conversation. It's still the bats.
Yeah.
The bats is number one. I want to say it's a more distant number two than anything else.
It's gotten closer in the last week and a half, but you're right.
Yeah, I mean, and I guess because the bats have been the way they've been all season long and it hasn't changed. So, and that's where that is. So I guess if you're going to, fire the hitting coach for that, you got to give Mike Maddux all sorts of money now, right? Isn't that good gosh, this guy deserves everything for what he's done with our starting rotation. I think the idea is, if you've been listening to our show for a while, when it comes to Kamar Rocker, the Rangers have no desire, from what we understand, to make him a bullpen piece. They think he's a starter, and he's going to be that way for most of his career, as long as he's a Texas Ranger.
I'm with you on that.
Kevin, I really like that this dude took a shot at his team for being bad.
Oh.
A Rockies fan is suing the team after he was hit in the eye by a foul ball, claiming the product on the field is so poor that fans were not paying attention to the game, and that is why he was hit in the eye.
What by a baseball. Savage burn. Your team is so terrible. I couldn't pay attention. Nobody else could pay attention, and that's why I got hit.
Quote, defendant's longstanding poor performance on the field has contributed to a game day environment in which spectators, particularly those in luxury suites, are less engaged with the action on the field. The cultural shift is not incidental, but rather encouraged by the Rockies' own marketing and design choices, which emphasize hospitality and off-field amenities over fan vigilance. So basically, he was saying the socializing, dining, and networking in this, and all that's going on in the suites is really the cultural part of it. But because of all that, hey, I got to go get myself a drink and another hot dog, and hey, let's have some fun eating these cookies together. He wasn't paying attention to the game because if the product was better on the field, he would have been turning around watching them instead. Good sideswipe.
Love this argument. Now, I wish he wouldn't have been in the luxury suites, because then I felt like it didn't make me want to not root for him quite as much.
You
want
to be
you got plenty of money.
Cheap seat somewhere, maybe nosebleeds, if you will.
Yeah, man of the people who's like, I have worked extra jobs to be able to afford these Rockies season tickets and something like that. I think that would be amazing.
I just left the mine. That's why I look like I do right now.
And he's got like his cage bird with him or whatever. I don't know what year this story took place in, but I would love that. And like then I would say, I really hope this guy wins. But I want there to be a trial. And in the trial, I want them to just dive into how terrible the Rockies have been now, and it's no longer even about the actual lawsuit. And you'd be like, they're on pace for historically bad run differential as well as a history. And you're like, what does this have to do with the case? And you're like, I'm just trying to establish how terrible they are and how they lost my attention.
Oh, man, from the 972, that Rockies guy didn't pay for his ticket, though. So no disclaimer he was aware of. So as a guest, does he have a case?
Oh, man. All right. So he got in the luxury suite for free as well, huh?
And he doesn't have the ticket that on the back of it says, hey, if you get hit in the face.
Yeah, I've always wondered about like the legality of that. I think about that sometimes when there's a truck that's like, you can't drive within 200 feet. And I'm like, yeah, if all that stuff falls off your truck and hits me, I'm not sure if that's going to hold up in a court of law, but maybe it does.
Kevin, the top 50 barbecue, best barbecue in DFW, according to Texas Monthly, has been released.
Hurtado. Oh, probably Dickie's.
Oh, man, I didn't see Dickie's on there.
Oh, man.
I'll have to look further down the list, I believe.
You do that.
I have the top 10. And I know the selection of restaurants named in the top 50 from the DFW area.
Okay. Show me your meat.
This is all about Texas. Number one, Burnt Bean Company in Seguin, Texas. Kevin, you know where Seguin, Texas
is? I do. I don't think I've ever been to that place.
That is the number one place, they say.
Man.
Number two, Leroy and Lewis Barbecue in Austin.
Mm.
Number three, in Fort Worth, baby, Goldie's, which is very, very good barbecue. Yeah. Redbird Barbecue in Port Neches is one of them. San Juan, GW's Barbecue. Interstellar Barbecue in Austin. Dane's Craft Barbecue in Aledo. So if you know any people near the Aledo area, I've seen so much about Dane's. By the way, if you want to go check Meat Church Matt Pittman on his Twitter, he said, I'm guessing these five will be in the top five. And he nailed it. Like he absolutely got it. He was like, I kind of know this. But Dane's in Aledo is really good. Lavaca Barbecue in Port Lavaca. Truth Barbecue in Houston. And Evie May's Pit Barbecue in Wolforth. So there you go. That's your top 10 right there, Kevin. Unfortunately, our buddy at Hurtado was given honorable mention this year.
And outside of the top 10?
Yeah, and I think that's just absolutely ridiculous, for one. All right, and I just want to throw that out there. Cadillac Barbecue was also named in there. And Kevin, in Panther City, our friends in Fort Worth.
Oh, yeah.
Our buddy at Sunbird Barbecue, Brian Bingham and his group, they got put in the top 50. So congratulations to them. I just saw him post about that. Slowbone in Dallas is another one that's on the list as well. So lots of different options there.
Somebody asked if the McRib from McDonald's made the cut. Probably not. I'm not asking that.
So the thing about the McRib, though, is it's only on occasion. You know, it's not always available.
That's why.
Good point.
So, yeah,
like the Shamrock Shake.
Yeah.
I don't know if they still do that.
The Grimace Shake.
Shamrock. So Hurtado isn't even in the top 50?
What the hell is happening here? And so, again, some really good stuff. Somebody just said, this one's not worth the 3-hour wait. Their bread and banana pudding is fire, though, at Goldie's.
Oh.
And I always, it's tough, man, to wait 3 hours for barbecue and for it to live up. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, I got
Is any place. I don't know that I've gone to. I've been in some pretty long lines, and the barbecue is usually very, very good wherever I go.
I don't know if people will judge me for this. Terry Black's in Austin, I thought was fantastic.
Terry Black's is really good barbecue. The one in Dallas is very good too. Black's Barbecue down in Lockhart, Texas. I know that's a little bit of a different conversation there, and he was with the family, and then he broke off and did his own thing. But I went down there, and I waited for a period of time. And it was great. Snow's Barbecue. Really good. Long wait. You got to be there early for it. But that is, we are spoiled in DFW in Texas by the amount of really, really good barbecue that they have here. You can go anywhere else in the country and it's going to be a little different. But what we have here is eclectic and really, the way that they make the meat is just different and better. So congratulations to all the ones that made it and to the ones that didn't. What's your deal? Get better.
See, I go back to what my mother-in-law told Brandon once when he made cookies, and he said that it wasn't his best batch of cookies, and she looked at him and goes, "Did you try your hardest?" And so I always thought that was the most devastating holiday burn. So, like, did you try your hardest? And by the way, for people who are like, you need to try this one, you need to try this one, you can always reach out if you want to bring us that food. And we'll gladly facilitate a visit to the studio for you.
Oh, really?
Right? That feels like a fair trade.
You
can visit the studio, but what are you going to bring?
Yeah, no, that's always been the case. What are you going to bring? And if you bring something good, you might be invited back.
Oh, neat.
Kevin, do you know who Caleb Downs is?
No.
Caleb Downs, Ohio State.
Yes.
All right. Evidently. And this is just from the headline, all right?
I thought it was a barbecue person.
Apparently, Caleb Downs told Ryan Day, that's the coach.
Yes.
For Ohio State, who everybody wanted fired. Weird.
Is it because he looks too red?
I think it's because he didn't beat Michigan. You know, I think, or makes sense, I feel too. Like that's usually the case.
Yeah, somebody had that sign at WrestleMania this many days since Ohio State beat Michigan.
Apparently, he told Ryan Day to take down some of the national championship signs at the facility because this Ohio State team hasn't won S yet. And so I'm always curious about that. You want the legacy up.
Yeah.
Jerry Jones, like the Cowboys live off those 5 trophies.
For sure.
Like they highlight them, they send them places.
For sure.
But at some point when you walk into the building, you have to look up and go, what have I done to contribute to that?
Right.
And sometimes maybe not having that. You know, like that was a big thing with Parcells. I'm not putting a star on their helmet until they earn it. But you walk into a facility where you're just like, oh, we got 10 championships. You should. The expectation is we're going to be here to win championships. Sometimes, though, people walk in and they don't realize, well, this is just how it is.
Yeah.
Because I'm with this team that they want a lot of stuff, and now I haven't actually earned anything. So hearing Caleb Downs say that, I kind of like that, dude.
Interesting. The KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, should the Rangers consider easing up on their starting pitching staff? Plus, we might have time for a random sports report. Next on The Fan.
Here's the pitch and a swing at a two-hopper right back to DeGrom. He's got it. Rifles a sidearm throw to first. And there are two outs.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You have a couple of options here. Should the Rangers consider easing up on their starting pitching? Would you like to start with that or go directly to the random sports report?
Let's start with that. I do want to hear, because they haven't been very offensive lately.
Yes, I know Mike is.
This is what our friend Mike yucking just told
it up, listening to the show, which I appreciate. All right. So this was something that Evan Grant kind of floated out there. And at first I was like, that is absolute madness.
Okay.
But then I read the whole thing, considered, and I think I might be on board. All right. Consider this. Jacob DeGrom right now is on pace for 32 starts and 185 innings.
All right.
He hasn't pitched 100 innings in 6 years.
So, and you said 185. So that'll be a lot.
So we'll probably have to kind of scale back a little bit at some point. Next.
And still somehow win games.
Yes.
Try to get to the playoffs.
You know what? And we're going to get to that part of it. Nathan Eovaldi is on pace for 196 innings.
I'm sorry, Kevin. I have to go back to DeGrom real quick. Because you said he hasn't pitched 100 innings since whatever. In 19, he pitched 204 innings.
Yeah.
68, 92, 64, 30, 10, and 63. That's what it's been since then.
Yeah.
204, not just, it has an over 100. You dropped that far from it.
Because of all the injuries.
That stinks.
So the idea of going right back up to that number, troublesome. Nathan Eovaldi, he's on pace for 196 innings pitch. That would be the second most of his career. Tyler Malley. He's on pace for 175 innings. He's pitched as many as 130 innings once in his 9-year career. So my point is, right now, Jacob DeGrom's on pace for a 6-year high. Tyler Malley is on pace for matching a number he's only done once before. And Nathan Eovaldi, the second most innings of his career. And we're continuing to use all of those starts right now when you know our offense can't do jack S.
Yeah.
Would you consider now is actually the time to perhaps skip a start here and there for these players? Because look, if the offense magically fixes itself tonight, we go, then hooray, we're going to be just fine. But what in the world leads anybody on this show to believe that? They're 1-7 in their last 8, averaging 2.5 runs per game. All right, so if you're going to lose, why not lose 7-1 instead of 2-1 and save some of these starts for when hopefully you're at least competent offensively again?
Well, and I guess that's the... Bochy doesn't go into any of these games thinking they're going to lose.
Which is probably but maybe he should.
His mindset is, every day, I'm trying to figure out a way to win today. And you recently saw him say, do I think whenever we get these guys back and healthy, I'd just like to be healthy for a period of time.
Yeah.
Is what he said. I just would love to see a lineup where it's not me constantly having to change it. Because I'd like to see them healthy. And the idea of that is he thinks that they can go on a little bit of run. So, yeah, if they're going to scale that back and still figure out how to win games and then say at the end of the season it's going to help us go on a run, then I see that. But at the moment, they haven't been able to prove that they can get wins.
And so I don't know if it's a plan. I'm sure they've had multiple plans.
It makes sense.
This year.
It makes sense. That goes to my sandbagging concept, that I always try to go.
I would love it if you just found out the offense was like, ha ha, just kidding, we're fine. That would be the greatest thing that could possibly happen besides the Stars winning tonight. But like, I'm not saying that there hasn't been plan after plan after plan. But let's say you come up with a new plan. Plan like, I don't know, at this point, J. And... you're like, we feel comfortable that over the next 3 weeks, we're really going to show offensive improvement. All right, well, then maybe in the next 3 weeks is when you cycle some off days for some of these people. So instead of losing that start that you might get in September or hopefully October, you skip it in May. You skip it in June.
Yeah.
I
like what you're saying here, cycling in baseball.
Okay, not like that.
Okay.
But... it feels very counterintuitive because these are the pitchers, the starting pitchers, are the only thing keeping you in these games. But on the flip side, how frustrating is it every time you see one of these ridiculous losses? Like yesterday, couldn't you have just about written it down? The Rangers will lose that game 2-1. No. And like, so you could have pitched whoever, and maybe you lost 7-1. Doesn't matter. Still counts all the same. But you look at some of these losses, like you're just a few days removed from a 1-0 loss. You go back to the end of that Boston series, a 2-1 loss, another 2-1 loss to end the Seattle series. Like you've seen it again and again and again. Starting pitching performances, especially from those three guys that don't have unlimited innings on their arms this year.
Yeah.
And you have wasted those starts.
And you're right, you wasted those. And going into each one of those games, your manager is thinking, this gives us a chance to win today because he's on the mound.
Yeah.
Right, like he's my best chance to keep this score 1-0 right now because I know what he's capable of, and that's the way that Boch has approached this entire. He approaches it all the way. Hell, Lou Piniella, what was that conversation with Randy Johnson? Hey, I don't have anybody in my bullpen as good as you, so
yeah.
Go those extra innings. But if it is kind of wasting them, but Boch does also with pitchers, he understands guys like Nate, guys like DeGrom, they want to prove things. They, you know, they're tough. I'm trying to get my numbers also. And
you're right. And what I would argue for those guys
and Boch is old school when it comes to like, hey, man, if they're having a good game, I might as well just keep throwing them out there.
Well, I mean, DeGrom was a great example in his last two starts before this previous one. He had two starts for 199 pitches. I'm not saying that's crazy and pitchers can't do that, but you're also somebody who's coming off of multiple arm injuries. Same thing with Tyler Malley. And so when you hear that DeGrom's on pace for 185 innings and Malley's 175 innings, I'm like, but what if you could scale it down to 165 and 155?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you'd be talking about skipping like 3 or 4 starts for each of them over this run of time. If I can get that 20 innings back or have it available in September or October, doesn't that feel like the far smarter play?
I would hope so. I would hope so if that was the decision they decided to make.
We can maybe ask Boch that tomorrow, and he'll be like, are you kidding me? Have you seen this offense?
Do you not have trust in our offense?
No, I would be like, first of all, I don't have trust in your offense. Secondly, this is as well as the pitching staff could conceivably be going, and you have a losing record.
And that being said, he wouldn't say. He's a pretty straight shooter. He's pretty realistic with what his team is.
Absolutely. I understand all of that. All right. Now, if you can go ahead and give me cut number 9, are you ready for some random sports report?
Let's do it.
Kicks left wing, Dub open. Snaps off a rainbow 3. In there! Cha-chinga, J-Dub offered money ball. Oh, baby! 34 for Dub, a playoff career high. Shea's got 10 assists. Thunder back up 7.
Now, I know you might be thinking, well, wait just a damn minute. NBA is not random sport.
You read my mind.
All right. Language. But because I considered that, let's start with competitive eating.
Okay.
Did you see that Joey Chestnut once again shattered his own world record? He ate 42 servings of popcorn in 8 minutes. How much is in a serving? So it's 24 ounces in a serving of popcorn. I need to like view this more or think it through because in my brain that doesn't make any sense.
Like 3 cups.
Okay. Because that's 1,008 ounces of popcorn. And I'm like, you can't eat that much popcorn or you would like explode. But
only if the kernels weren't pre-popped.
So when you pop them,
they get into the
I got
stomach
you.
Stomach acid and they air. Pop.
But yeah, so let's just say medium bag of popcorn.
Okay.
He ate, that's probably a large, he ate 24 of those in 8 minutes. That means every 20 seconds, he finished a medium popcorn. Actually, it's even less than that because I was thinking 24 bags of popcorn. I meant 42 bags of popcorn. So he was eating,
oh my gosh,
5 of those bags every minute. So we're talking about 12 seconds per bag of popcorn.
Did he just funnel it into his mouth? Because when you reach in and grab, you're not getting the whole handful. It's going to fall out. It's going to fall all over the place. It's getting everywhere. I know that I can sit down and eat a bag. Like we watched Oppenheimer.
Sure.
That movie, just as long as Master and Commander, but it feels shorter.
But you know? Better.
Yeah, huh. And a lot better. I had a whole bag of popcorn, almost ate the whole thing. You're telling me he did 42 of these? That was a 3-hour movie.
That's right. He did it in 8 minutes.
The worst thing about popcorn. I like popcorn.
All of it.
I really do like popcorn.
Not all of it. Just the regular popcorn.
It slides between your gum and your teeth.
Yes.
It's the worst. Mm-hmm. It gets in there, and then you're like trying to pluck it out for the next, you know, 2 hours until you can get home and get your water pick or maybe some floss or a toothpick of some. Toothpick isn't going to work.
Nope. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you brush your teeth, it doesn't even get it out of there. Popcorn, that's the one thing I hate about popcorn. If we could eliminate that, it might be the best snack on the planet.
Mm. I like that.
Except it can't stand by itself.
What are you doing?
Can it?
Yeah.
No, it can't.
Yeah, it can.
You're just going to eat popcorn?
Yes.
With nothing on it?
Yep.
Yeah.
Shut up. No, you're not.
I do it for like the guilt-free snack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It tastes like popcorn.
Great source of fiber too.
Now, is it better with butter and salt? Yes. Or caramel?
Or cheddar?
Or throw in some M&Ms?
I'll stand by this. Regular popcorn is trash. It's a garbage food.
I just don't know why you would want to do that to yourself with all the amount of corn that's going to get stuck in your teeth is what I'm saying. Okay. That's going to be miserable. And you never really own corn. You're only renting it. Is that the same with popcorn, too? Or is that just with corn kernels?
Hey, Caitlin Clark is going to be out for the next 2 weeks. How disappointed do you think all those fans are going to be at the United Center? So they bought tickets to see Caitlin Clark against Chicago Sky and Angel Reese. Do you think Angel Reese thinks that there's no difference because she's the one who sold all those tickets?
Probably so. And yeah. that's part of the her bit and her character is being, she's upset a lot about these things.
Getting her own rebounds.
I think a lot of people are going to be upset that they bought tickets for that and she's not there. That's the draw. She's the draw for a lot of the WNBA for, you know, just look at the ticket sales whenever she's on the road.
With the TV ratings.
Yeah, that's what it is. So I think now she can't stay healthy forever. That's just a reality. You know, that's just a reality of everything.
You know what's crazy about that? She did not miss a single game at Iowa.
In high school. I think in high school. Like this is, I think I just saw a note this. This is the first time since high school she'll miss a regular season game. So that's wild.
Also, to start the regular season, Angel Reese is shooting a robust 30% from the field. Not from three, from anywhere on the basketball court. That is down, but not as much as you would think from last year when she shot 39% and 18%.
Making baskets is hard.
No, I get that. But if you're a basketball player, you feels like you should be able to do that.
Yeah, exactly. At the highest level.
All right. Let's talk about basketball.
There's a lot of food from Shell Shack in that room over there. How much of it you think is going
to
be left?
Stay focused here for just a couple more minutes.
Not much
at all. I wanted to try to tell you about how the Thunder won again, and they were up 3-1 on the Timberwolves, and they were going to close the series out probably tomorrow. But I'm going to get to the story you really care about. The Indiana Pacers lead the New York Knicks 2-1. Tonight is game 4 in Indianapolis. Tonight will also mark the return of Tyrese Halliburton's dad.
I know.
He has been allowed to return after he had to miss, four whole home games? Really strenuous punishment that they put him through.
They were all playoff games, though. That had to be stressful.
Don't go on the court and confront a player. That doesn't feel like
it was Giannis.
Yeah. Does that make it better?
I don't know.
Yeah, just imagine. You went to an FC Dallas match, and afterwards you ran on the field and confronted one of the players.
Is my kid on the team?
Yes. I don't think they would say, you can come back in a couple weeks.
We'll have to ask FC Dallas.
Okay.
We'll ask him tomorrow.
Yeah, we will see what we can do about that. All right, and then by the way, the Carolina Hurricanes, they were victorious. First time in their last 16 Eastern Conference Finals games, they've won one, so now they won't get eliminated until tomorrow.
Okay.
Instead of last night.
From the 806, I love that I've listened to y'all for so long that I could cook a 4-course meal for Kevin with and without specific items he loves and hates.
Spoiler alert, if you put onions on it, pass.
You have to hide the onions.
Yeah. We're like, oh, they're in the sauce and you don't even taste them. Just don't even tell me they're there.
Yeah.
Because then that's the mental block part of it.
Yeah, that's like when you're got your kid eating something weird for the first time. I don't know, gator toes or something like that.
What?
Yeah, I don't know. And they're like, what is this? You don't tell them it's gator. You just go, yeah, it could be chicken or something. Enjoy. And then after they're done, then you go, you just ate that. and you laugh at them.
Do you
them
taunt your children
all the
after
time,
you?
Dude? Oh. I love taunting those kids. What are they going to do? Leave?
We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Avery's
coming up
leave
next,
soon, dude. I'm gonna be so sad.
Probably crosstalk with nobody because G-Bag's gonna still be eating. We'll find out next right here on The Fan.
Bouchard steps into one that got deflected and wound up in the net. A power play goal for Edmonton. Looked like Ryan Nugent Hopkins had the last touch of that one. And a 1-0 Oilers lead, less than 6 minutes gone by.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan right now, courtesy of D&M Leeson. It's time for our chit-chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Gentlemen, how is it today?
Terrific, Heggie. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I'm a little nervous about this game tonight. I know technically it's not must-win. It feels kind of must-win for the Stars after they lost back-to-back playoff games for the first time all year. How are you guys feeling going into this evening?
That's must win. I mean, I guess you can say technically it's not must, but it's must win. You're not going down 3-1, in my opinion. I know we've seen other teams come back from 3-0 down. Last year, certainly Edmonton came back from 3-0 down in the Cup Final and was able to force a Game 7. But they've got to be able to steal one on the road. And tonight is the night that they hadn't lost back-to-back games in the postseason. Now they damn sure better not lose three in a row. And I think this is going to have to be Jake Oettinger standing on his head and a vintage Otter performance. And that's probably what it's going to take. And then you need Mikko Rantanen and Wyatt Johnston and some of your other big guns to finally show up for you.
We're worried about, with Draisaitl and others there, McDavid and all. They're secondary players. If you want to call them secondary players.
Bouchard,
Hyman, Nugent Hopkins.
Nugent Hopkins is
playing so well right now.
Hyman is on pace to shatter the record for most playoff hits.
The only thing I can equate it to when I watch like with McDavid with the puck is like imagine the best wide receiver you've ever seen with speed and quickness and all these things. And how it just affects defensive backs when you play them, how you can't backpedal fast enough to make up for how fast they're going forward. And it terrifies people.
Yeah.
But, and I feel like the Stars, I mean, you know, they made the point the other day that, you know, it was Mark Messier made the point about, hey, you've got to get bodies on these guys. Even if it's miss, it's better than just keep retreating and then letting him have a snapshot. Right, you know, just the wrister that he's so accurate with. You know,
so you got to slow him down and neutralize one way or another.
Agreed.
You got to make him turn.
There's got to be something. You got to make him start, restart, all those things. And Dallas just is not. But it's the secondary players. I still think Dallas has the best goalie. Skinner, he was
great last game for sure.
Well, he's blessed to have those dudes in front of him. They block shots.
They're playing great, but they're playing way better than normal. You haven't played your A game. You haven't shot your A game, especially the other night. But I think there's plenty of time for momentum to shift and for Edmonton to cool down. Like, good Lord, they're playing great.
Man, I don't know about Edmonton cooling off, though.
Well, I'm not sure they are out there right now, Brian.
You make a mistake, they're making you pay for it.
No, absolutely.
You're turning the puck over in neutral ice, they're turning it into a goal. The play up against the boards with Rantanen right before the end of the 19 seconds left in the second period, you completely dominated them. It's 2-1. You're feeling good. And then all of a sudden, here's your best player with an unforgivable turnover, and now the best player in the world is going to go ahead and make you pay for it. It's 3-1. And the game was over from that point on.
Yeah.
Any confidence over here?
I can't say I'm super confident, but I am. I do appreciate the fact that every time we've wanted to count them out this season, they've had a resurgence. Let's not forget about the way they limped into the postseason.
Yes.
So I do think that there is a battle-tested nature to this team. I think Otter will have a much better performance, but you got to have some of these other guys. Like you had the stat earlier. What was it, Johnston and Duchesne?
Yeah, they're the only players with double-digit negative plus minuses, and Johnson's at 17 and Duchesne's at 13.
Johnston's been bad. Duchesne has just had, he's been having some good looks in this series. I really think it might be tonight. I mean, that guy's got a breakthrough for you because he's been close.
It was good to see Robinson get the tip.
Yes,
angle.
The credit.
I mean, you know, we need some more of that from him. I could say, but your best player, the guy that helped you get to this point, has to play like your best player.
Where's the moose, man?
He will disappear at times.
I just feel it's very either you know, I'm not going to sit there and act like I know exactly what Edmonton's doing to him, but it just does not seem like they are giving him any space.
Well, and that's part of the reason why you're looking at these other guys. Like, dude, you do have to do something here. Yeah. Because defensively, it's very easy to be like, hey, let's just take out Rantanen and then dare anybody else to beat us. And right now, no one's proving that they can do that consistently. I'll tell you why I'm confident, Heggie.
Ooh, please do.
You like that for engaging?
Yes, I do.
Has this been a hit or a miss?
Oh man, we'll break this. Really, we'll break that down next.
We're due for a good whistle tonight. Okay, we've been screwed. You're facing elimination. If you don't win this game, the series is effectively over. The refs owe it to you, and they know it. They're sending in the pro star refs tonight. Tim Donaghy theory.
Okay,
the extender,
I like it.
The extender sliding in tonight.
It's Scott Foster, isn't it?
Scott Foster is the extender.
Absolutely. Yeah, there we go.
Credit that man.
Yeah, you made reference to something that I've talked about a couple of times, and I said it with Sean and RJ last week. Sometimes crosstalk with y'all can be hit or miss. Yeah. Do you think that is a fair assessment, depending on how dialed in y'all are?
I think it's probably on the host that runs it.
Okay, we get an immediate lash out. Yeah, I'll own my part of it, Heggie. It's a team effort.
In honor of Woolchuck, I will own my part in it as well.
You know, I feel like I'm a warm up guy. You know,
okay.
So this first 15, 20 minutes or so, I might be misfiring. I'm trying to get there. Trust me,
ramping
trying
to get gear, there. Yeah.
We're just doing calisthenics.
Oh, you better.
Okay. Well, with that in mind, are you guys outside eating people? Because we were just having this conversation. Whenever anyone's like, "Let's go sit on the patio at a restaurant," I'm like, you know, they have inside, right? If you're on a lake. I get it.
The bigger you are, Heggie, the worse the outside seating is for you.
Oh.
Is it the heat factor?
Yes, big man sitting outside. Factor. Bennett made me sit outside the other day. I didn't have a dry spot on my shirt.
Yeah, see, you know.
No, I'm not doing that anymore.
You do the outside eating when we were in Oxnard and you have an opportunity to kind of sit on a patio.
Gorgeous
yeah, it is
there.
Freaking beautiful outside.
It is glorious.
It's totally worth it. Here it's either too hot or too windy.
Yeah.
Or too mosquito-y.
We were at the pizza place in Oxnard that we go
Toppers.
To?
Toppers.
Yeah. We were at Toppers. We sat out on the marina.
Because it's by the marina. I'm with you on that. But otherwise, what is the appeal of let's go outside and eat with the bugs?
Well, for you, you're also someone that doesn't drink. And I do think there is something nice about, hey, we're kind of grabbing a drink or two and we're just kind of
drinking outside is better.
Yeah, yes. But on a spring day, not the humidity days that we've had. I mean, my gosh.
Anytime it's, that's true. And then anytime it is the summer months here in Texas, though, it is always like, no, let's sit inside. I need the air conditioning.
I just want to tell those people, like when they ask me, would you like to sit outside? I'm like, look at me. You think I need to sit outside?
Yeah. Stereotype me, please. Okay?
Yeah, like I'm a big guy. I don't need to sweat into my meal.
Yes.
I don't want to sit outside.
Well, Corey brought up the fans, and I was like, that's neat. They have air conditioning inside.
Yeah, there's fans out there. They have the little misters. They blow a little mister on you.
I love when that gets all over my food.
You ever been sitting there, and all of a sudden that thing just, like, it's pouring. It's just dripping down on your back.
That's you got a little mister on you?
Yeah.
Did you say on your back?
Funny thing about my back is
I got a mister on it. It's like Corey's laying out on you now. What happened there?
I just wanted him to feel at home in this segment.
Maybe you need to ask him about the crosstalk question.
I think between 68 and 77, low winds, it's a lock, right? Yeah. But that might be less than 5% of the time.
Yeah. Sun, sunglasses, cool breeze. Anything else is a no.
But indoors, you can get a loud table next to you.
Oh.
Okay.
Whereas it's mitigated outside because there's...
Outdoors,
I got you.
You're not as cramped. You're not as crowded. You know, there's a lot of factors.
Interesting.
That I enjoy, you know? So I want to eat outside, but it's rare that you hit that combination.
Did we all eat outside when Eric had the six patty hamburger? Was that an outside venue?
That's
Arizona outside.
That was nice. It was nice because it was 68 degrees.
I was battling the elements outside when I took that burger down.
That's when the cook came out from the back and they're like,
he'd never seen anything like it.
Yeah, we were like, we want to give you a free dessert.
Compliments.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Michelin star chef had never seen anything like that
in his
life.
My proudest moment.
Yeah.
What do you guys got coming up on the program today?
Pure Gold, as always, thanks for asking. I did see Rich Rice is attempting to get Alejandro Osuna for us at 3:20.
Oh,
That's not confirmed. That's not confirmed, but I wanted to throw out there because it's exciting. But we do have Greg Wyshynski at 4. And the Rangers player show will be at 3:20.
All right. Let's see if you guys can get the only player on this team that can hit right now.
Yeah. 33.
Roll home.
Dawson wanted to bring him up. He was right.
Yeah.
He's got the baseball eye. Scout's eye, Dawson there.
Roll home with the G-Vag Nation. We have been the Cansey Masterpiece. Make your way back with us tomorrow. tomorrow when the Stars have tied the series 2-2 right here on 105 Through the Fan.
Hey, let's go Stars, Kevin.
Let's go Stars.